Alright, Jay, we're gonna be ready to.
Alright, you're gonna do a countdown, or we don't need countdowns anymore now?
Right, anyways, gives you the 3, 2, 1.
And then I see some outlandish comment item. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Mellow Comfy Mo podcast. We got Tito Benach in the building today. Ooh. It's going to be, as he said, a therapy session for UM fans this weekend. For me and David, it's not so much of a therapy session. But
I'm the world's worst therapist.
But David, let him know. We got FIU in the building this weekend.
Prime time spot, Wednesday night, national televised, ESPN, lock of the week, tease.
Hell yeah.
Don't worry about that.
We're gonna get right into it. We're gonna get right into this one. And then if you wanna give them a little bit of color into, you know, about you and all that fun stuff too.
Yeah.
But before we even do that, I want you to get it out of the way.
Like
last time when we lost to the Bills, we opened the door, we let the juju out. So
we need to open a lot more than some doors. a lot more.
I'm gonna let you give us a lay of the land of what went down this past Saturday at Hard Rock.
It was the biggest display of coaching malpractice I've ever seen in my entire life. It was the dumbest loss I'm ever gonna see in my entire life. And I know I say that like knowing that I have a lot of years left, right?
Yeah.
We'll see how many years, right? Like that number could change, but like I'm pretty confident knowing that that's gonna be the dumbest loss I've ever seen in my entire life. A multi-pronged failure on several fronts, not including the, you know, 3 quarters before that game,
right?
Because they weren't playing well.
No,
but they found a way to not only win the game temporarily, but then actually found a way to lose it.
Yeah,
in spectacular fashion. It's inexcusable. Like just flat out, an inexcusable loss. Mario Cristobal is a top 15 paid head coach in the country.
Yep,
and he should know how a clock works. Like, that would be my assumption. There were multiple ways that game could have ended without Miami losing. My favorite scenario is Miami could have just not run a play. They could have taken 8 delay games and then decided to run a play that's not a run play or a pass play. They could have just kneeled it out.
Right.
There are 5 and 6 year olds that know that know if you have the ball and the other team doesn't have a timeout, you need the ball.
Even my mom, thinking about football, was like, why aren't they taking a knee?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So just inexcusable.
It was like, and I'm obviously, everyone knows I'm not a young guy.
Yeah, not a young guy.
But like I watched that and I was literally, I saw the play. It was the first play of the game that I watched. Literally, I was at a wedding, went to the bar, my two, little Cambo and Oscar, they were watching the game on their phone. And I pull up and I see 30 seconds left. I'm like, oh, game over. And like, as I said that, they ran the ball and he fumbled. And I just like, they were flipping out. And I was just like in a state of shock. Like before the laughter actually came, it was more of like a, I can't actually like process that I actually witnessed that, because it's the thing is, and we spoke a little bit about it beforehand, and I've said this before, I love Mario Cristobal. Cristobal is my guy, FIU head coach, put us, you know, on the map at the time with TY and best years of my life.
Yeah.
Never gonna top my that stretch. But no, seriously, I love Cristobal, but I've always said, best recruiter in the nation, awesome players coach, players love to play for him. He's one of just like those coaches that like you know, get hyped up, he's gonna show up in big spots. But even at his time at FIU, he's been the worst clock management coach I've pretty much ever seen.
Yeah.
He's made mistakes like this, not as egregious, because
that was a step up. Game like that.
Yeah. Well, I've seen them cost games like that.
He did it at Oregon.
He did it at Stanford.
Oh, Stanford. Yeah.
He did it at FIU. He didn't know. He actually, at the time, I swear to God, did not know how to use timeouts. There was one time I literally vividly remember. I think we were down 3 points, two minutes
left.
Why
do you think that is? A guy that all three times a program like that, doesn't just say why. I mean, because like we all know it's obvious, but why does he not do it? Is it like a stubborn thing?
I think you'd be surprised the amount of both NFL and college football coaches that just don't know how to do clock management. They just don't. Like, and I think the younger generation of coaches know from Madden. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's just, it's situational awareness, right? Like, how much time do I have? How much is the play clock gonna burn? And
you don't think anybody on the coaching staff
a video came out where it looks like Mario words to the offensive coordinator. You should knee it out here. And
I guess telling that to
the offensive coordinator, Shannon Dawson. I think there's two ways to look at this, right? Like, on one hand, I appreciate that it took until Monday morning for Mario to be like, hey, this is completely on me.
Well, people were mad about what he said.
Right after the game, he tried to make it a team loss, which is dumb. And Monday morning, he admitted it. Look, we should have needed out. Yeah. Took the blame. Offensive coordinator said the same thing. Mm-hmm. But my thing is this, right? You're the head coach of a football team. If you think you should do something,
then do it.
You have all the prerogative to say that.
That's what I'm thinking. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and here's the best part. You could go, hey, you know what? Timeout. We don't know what we're doing right now, guys. We can call a timeout, and guess what? We can still kneel it and still win the game.
Yeah.
So it was a apoplectic reaction from me. Like, I was in a glass case of emotions after that game. I haven't been that pissed off in a while. But they got to turn the page.
But going into that game, in the back of your head, did you kind of feel like this is a trap game?
100%. Yeah.
That's the thing, because like, I thought it was a trap game for you guys too.
Yeah.
But like, there's the level of the trap game, and then there's the level of you already won the trap game. Yeah. It was a survive and advance game.
Yeah. Right.
You didn't have to cover. You don't have to cover. 100%. You don't have to blow them out. Who cares? It doesn't affect anything, because the games that affect stuff, the next week UNC, the FSU games, you win those games, beating GT by 3 points, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But everybody has one of these games throughout the season.
Yeah. And all you have to do is survive it, and they lost it. It's not that, you know, it wasn't like you said, it wasn't a team loss. No, it was a terrible call, and it cost them, you know, it cost them again.
I would say it was a team loss, though, at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, Tyler Van Dyke played like crap.
He did. He played awful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. I don't think he's good.
Really?
What's the level of good, though? Because I think in terms of college quarterbacks, I think he's good. I don't think he's, because a lot of people
what
are placing him like
done?
Top five. But
what
like,
has he done?
He's got one of the higher QBRs in the country now. In efficiency range.
I understand that, but look at who he's played.
Oh, yeah. Well, Texas A&M.
Yeah,
he threw five touchdowns against Texas A&M.
Is Texas A&M that good?
I mean, they hung with Bama this past weekend.
Is Bama that good this year?
It's all relative to him. But I think I'm going to admit with you, he was an awful game. It was an awful game from Tyler, forcing throws, just didn't have it, right? Like, and I think that is the recipe for like how you lose, right?
Oh,
like,
of course. You can't turn the ball over.
Your QB throws three interceptions before the
two
fourth quarter.
In the red zone.
Yeah. And it directly leads to points.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
that's a recipe.
You guys had like over 500 yards of offense.
Yeah. Yeah. We held Georgia Tech below 100 rushing yards.
Yeah.
I think the record.
If you look at the numbers, you would think you guys beat them by 40.
Yeah.
But did Georgia Tech, you know, air raid, known air raid.
Yeah. And that's what I think makes it worse, too, right? Like, it's not just the fumble and the awful decision from the coaches. But it's like, all right, well, they got to go, you know, 70 yards in 40 seconds.
And they did it in two plays.
And they did it in two plays. It's
crazy.
You guys were just meant to lose that game at the end of the day. Just everything had to line up. Tyler Van Dyke played like crap, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the bad call of running the ball when there was no even
and he looks like he's down.
And then that's what I was going to say. And then everybody coming out saying, like, he was pretty much down. Yeah. And I don't know why the call stayed. Right? And then after all of that, you still have to give up the touchdown to lose the game.
A comedy wars. Like, quite literally, a hilarious sequence of just awful events.
And the worst part about it, it's probably the best crowd the Hard Rock had for a game this year.
Yeah. I think announced attendance was like 58,000 or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if it was 58. Yeah. It was probably well over 30. It was a great crowd. The lower bowl looked full from you know, looking at TV. The Rock looked loud.
It's no cage, but
right.
It's not the cage. Yeah, of course. It's definitely nothing will ever beat the cage.
Yeah.
But you want to show up for your crowd when you historically have trouble filling up that stadium, and I think that national TV. You know, everyone, you know, UM has kind of, you're going to hate me for this, has kind of been like the Cowboys of the college football, where every year they're like top 15. They weren't top 15 this year, but every year they're top 15 going into season. The hype is super high for UM. And then what do? They do shit like this, right?
I think the funny part about being a UM fan is there's always a loss that you're like, wow, this is the worst loss I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's about every 2 years, because the one before that was Middle Tennessee State last year.
Right.
The one before that was FIU. Yeah.
The darkest day in UM history.
One of the darkest days. And I quite literally asked myself, I was like, was this loss last on Saturday worse than FIU? I thought about it.
I was actually going to pose it to you, like, because I listened to Lepertar this morning, and he was saying that this is the worst one. I think this is the worst way to lose. I don't think it's necessary, like, because the Middle Tennessee one.
But what's the argument behind that?
Us, the losing to us was bad in a different way. Besides, other than the fact that obviously it's FIU, the Kings of Miami, and your big brother. But the fact that you have to deal, like, at least for my friends, it's like, their worst loss is that one, because they've never, like, I've never been able to talk shit. Right. Like to that extent, I will talk shit no matter what. But now I had that moment of like, uh-oh. Like glow in my eye and like pep in my step.
It's tough. I think FIU was a reality check, right? Like I think.
Well, landed you Crystal Ball essentially.
The FSU lost the year before Crystal Ball. There's a lot of things.
Recycling FIU coaches. You know?
Right. Like, you just needed your sloppy seconds. Really. I think this is. I don't know if it was the word. It's just a humiliating loss. It's another humiliating loss.
Yeah.
Because, like, Miami's lost to Georgia Tech before.
Yeah.
It's not the first
Georgia Tech historically plays UM pretty
well. Yeah,
pretty
they
well
always
too.
Seem
it's,
to.
It's also the fact that, like, Georgia Tech lost to Bowling Green last week, too.
Right. Like, and like, the game was over.
Yeah. And it's when I said, because I picked UM to not cover the spread, because I always pick UM to not cover the spread, because they usually don't. They really don't. Like, especially those big ones. It was a 3-touchdown game.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
20-point spread.
And they didn't cover, obviously.
Yeah.
So. But you were telling me right before, it's like, dude, they just lost to Bowling Green. Like, there's no way this is gonna happen. And it did.
It did.
I think what makes it worse is that we could have gone into like our really like ranked game.
Well, so that was the next point I was about to make. Going into this game, everyone's already looking at UNC ahead, the FSU, the amount of people that were talking about the UM-FSU game already saying, like, we're going to be undefeated and this is going to be two top 10 teams going. Like, that was the tone already with UM fans. And I'm like, everybody needs
Louisville,
to say,
Louisville's actually
Louisville
sick.
Pretty good.
Louisville looks nice.
And that game, I believe, is in Louisville. So
yeah. Well. So it's like, there was a high expectation because the way UM looked, they looked good.
This is the best they've looked in a long time.
And after what they looked like last year, they weren't beating those teams the way they were beating them. They were winning convincingly. They looked like the UM team that they were supposed to be.
Right.
And it just like, you guys, like, it was like a nightmare almost, where it was like,
100%,
dude, I feel like I just woke up in last season's season and we're back to square one almost, it feels like. But you go into UNC now this week, right? And there's almost like probably a different tone, because this loss is talked about more probably than any of the other losses last year, because the Middle Tennessee loss was bad, right? But it was like, it was always like, it's his first year. He doesn't have his guys. You know, there was clearly a bunch of glaring issues across the board. This year, you guys have looked good, had a bad loss. Like, to Dave's point, you guys could have gotten out of, hypothetically, right? Yeah. With everything that happened. You could still go into UNC and win that game.
Yeah.
And does it kind of make you forget about what happened this week?
I think if Crystal Ball goes into UNC and beats them, it's the like the best way to kind of salvage, you know, the respect from the fan base, right? Like for the past 3-4 years, Miami goes into UNC and loses.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
There have been close games.
Yeah. Yeah.
There have been blowouts.
And nothing to
take away from UNC. UNC's right. UNC is a good team last few years. But you know, UNC has beaten Miami 4 years in a row.
No,
now.
No.
And so this would be Mario's way of kind of, like I said, you know, regaining the respect back from the fan base.
Yep.
And kind of really proving to people that this team can kind of turn the page. Right.
Right?
Like. Mm. There's been so many years, I remember during the Jimbo Fisher Florida State era, where Miami would be having a good season, they lose to Florida State,
yeah.
and the season falls apart.
Yep.
For whatever reason.
That's what we were talking about right before the pod.
Yeah. It's a good proof for like years past.
Yeah.
A loss, like a loss.
And derails.
It derails the season.
And
yeah.
like, I think this loss will get more talked about. Let's say, God willing, we go undefeated the rest of the season and we end up like...
Oh, God, here comes
the And then that stops us from like going even higher in the rankings. Yeah. Like, but I'm saying, like,
I know.
We can win the rest of our games, but this loss, to your point of like yeah. how big this loss will be if we do happen to go and have a winning record the rest of the season. And then
yeah, it's going to dilute this loss.
I still think, though, like, if UM runs the table from here on out, they'll still be in that. They'll probably still get, like, if... Because think about it. They run the table.
They have to beat FSU.
Who's going to be top?
Probably,
team,
you know, right
probably
now,
in the ACC championship.
Yeah,
if you win the ACC championship,
you're in.
It also depends. Whatever.
Yeah,
what
but
else
it is just a, like a, you know, it
it's
is
a dumb loss. It's a dumb loss. Yeah. They had the game won.
Yeah.
Like, there's another way to size it up. Like, you as a coach, you practice the victory formation because you're like, hey,
do you think they actually practice it?
Apparently not. I don't know. I tweeted it. I said when the Dolphins won on Sunday and Tua need the ball out, somebody get that play to Christian Ball right now.
He
can use that play.
You're that Columbus and Mary. The last thing we do before game day is we do a victory
formation.
Yeah,
man. This is as easy as cake. It's supposed to be easy. Like saying this isn't rocket science is an insult to the phrase "this isn't rocket science."
Yeah,
because it's so easy. So,
yeah. Most important thing is that we're still ranked somehow.
I know exactly what that is. It's for the TV purposes. Yeah. They know it's primetime ABC game. They want to see the number 25 and the number or whatever UNC
There's
is right
14.
Now.
12, yeah, 12
somewhere in the top 15.
Like that,
so they want to just see that illusion like it's two ranked games because it does make the matchup look bigger.
It was like a fluke. It was like we had a phase. And
these are the types of games that like Chris Wall will show up. It's whether, it depends how hard the players are going to take this loss because like all those videos came out and like people were like the players were like that O-lineman was like what are we doing? Like, I'm curious to see more of like how they, flip the switch, get up for this game. But it's one of those games that like Cristobal is known for, like, he wins big games, he also loses really stupid games. It's kind of his MO at the moment. It wouldn't actually, like, it would shock me more because of everything that just happened and the fact that, like you said, UNC kind of has your number. Like, it's also the type of game that, like, the Texas A&M game. Like, I actually, like, that was a huge game. Like, they came up, they showed up, and they kind of put Texas A&M, like, in a coffin pretty early. Not really, kind of whatever, midway. But those are the type of games that he does tend to, bring out the best in his players. But I want to see how they will react coming off of this loss and the fact that they, like the media storm that has hit. Like,
it would be a testament to the mental strength of this team and Cristobal being able
to keep the locker room
together, right? Because I it was very evident during the Golden era, during the Manny Diaz era. I don't know about the Rick era as much, but like during specifically Golden and Manny Diaz, the team would quit. Like they would suffer a bad loss, whether it be Florida State or somebody else, and the team would just essentially obviously, and the team would check out.
Yeah.
So it's really up to Cristobal to find a way to motivate these guys, and it shouldn't be hard, right? Like
no.
A team that's beaten you 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
There are guys on this roster that have never beaten UNC. So.
Yeah. No, I think as. And it looks like he owned the decision. And if the coaches continue to own that decision, let's put this away.
Right.
Right? That's on us. We apologize. Now let's go take care of business. Because if we do,
we're back to where we want to be.
And we got a lot to play for after
that.
You know, so it is a reset game this week. But like you said, who knows how they're going to bounce back after that.
Great question.
But let's get into the positive stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Let's do it.
Talking about
you,
baby. Hey, we got the UTEP game.
I gotta say, I love how this podcast started with Handal going, "Hey, FIU Wednesday night, teaser for my lock of the week, as if what could that pick be? Hey, what could it be?
Hey,
gotta take the over. High score here for it.
That's my second lock of the week. But no, let's talk some Fins. We'll talk some Fins.
We'll talk Fins, because obviously you're a big Fins fan too.
I am. Right? Yes.
And we're looking good. We are.
Best team in the NFL.
We're number one in the AFC East. I think there's like the first time I feel like we're clearly, concisely, like the best team in the AFC East. You know, obviously Jags did us a favor, beat the Bills, and that we're like huge. We're so firmly in the huge. Top four of the AFC that like. Mm-hmm. It's uncharted territory for me. Mm-hmm. Very weird.
It's weird. Like, it's crazy. I was taking a shower before I got here, and in the shower, these are my shower thoughts.
All right. I like this. I like this. Talk to him. Let's go.
I'm just sitting in the shower. I'm like, damn, dude. The Dolphins are 4-1, and I feel like I'm not enjoying it. Like,
thank you that you said, because I was actually waiting to jump in, because you said that we are the best.
You and Dave, I sound a lot of the same thing. Yeah. You don't sound like me.
He is pessimistic.
You know what?
Here.
No, but I
how do you expect me to be optimistic?
I get you. You know why? We are so accustomed to the other shoe falling off.
Well, this is my thing. Like, I wouldn't say I'm pessimistic. I'm more like, it's not rational. Like,
you're a realist. To an extent. Even though you're not being real.
No, you're not. Because the numbers don't lie. I mean, the numbers tell us we are that. You
we're
know,
we're the best team in NFL history.
Offense is electric. But it's like, I'm almost like setting the expectation, yeah. You know?
You're scared to get hurt.
You're setting low expectations.
Yeah,
you don't want to get hurt.
I don't want to get here.
Here's the thing. I've set the bar so high. Like,
I don't want is that come down.
Listen, Charlie Brown, right?
You know what's
with
the best part?
Kicking the field goal,
yeah,
right?
You know what's the best part about the come down? When the next season starts, right back up there.
I'm done living that cycle.
You're about to get out of it. We're going to win the AFC East. We're going to blow out the Chiefs AFC Championship. I'm going to stumble into Vegas, and you know, we're going to beat whoever comes out, the 49ers. Bums. No one scares me. Not a single team scares me in the NFL.
I love the confidence. I love it.
We got the best player in the NFL, Tyreek Hill. We got the best quarterback in the NFL, Tua. Bum Mahomes, don't even try me. Waddle, top 10 receiver on the other side. We've got Barry Sanders, who's a bit dinged up right now, but you know, he's coming back later.
He'll be back.
Ramsey, Armstead.
We're so good
that two of our top five players, we're putting them on IR.
Yes,
just to give everybody else a chance.
Yeah, for fun. We're like, oh. The Eagles? Yeah. Rest them.
Yeah. Like, come on. It is crazy that we've been able to do what we've been doing without being 100% healthy.
Yeah.
And look, we've gotten lucky that our depth at the line has been really solid outside of a guy that we won't talk about on this podcast anymore.
Yeah. It's like Voldemort.
Yeah. I refuse. Yeah. But outside of that, our depth at O-line has been solid.
Yeah.
Connor is a beast. Austin Jackson's a monster, which we didn't think he was going to be that monster at right tackle.
No.
He's been great.
He's been phenomenal. I think going into this year, if you would have asked Dolphins fans who's the weakest link on the offensive line, it would have been an unanimous Austin Jackson. And he's been a top two offensive line.
And we all knew Armstead was going to get hurt. And then the question was like, whoever comes in for Armstead, Kendall Lamb's been great too.
Shout out to Kendall Lamb, dude. He's been fantastic.
And we were all ripping Greer and McDaniel, saying like, dude, they're really going to run it back with this O-line.
Yeah.
And it's been good. It's been good. And look, I think some of it's a little smoke and mirrors because Tua is getting the ball out crazy fast.
Yeah.
But what I will say is the O-line's athletic as hell. Dude, they're running 10, 15 yards.
We're averaging 165 on the ground.
They're walking downfield.
It's impressive.
That's McDaniel's offense.
1,000%.
We don't run a mirror horizontal.
Yeah.
We go across the line.
Yeah. But we can also run between the tackles, which is impressive. Yeah. Because Mostert broke, I don't know how many runs the other day.
Yeah.
And all season through the tackle. I mean, Achan is just so fast that no one can catch him.
Literally the best running back in the league.
He did get some bills. Also, Jackson went up against a pretty good
guy. Imagine.
I mean, he wasn't the reason that too. It was the pressure. It was their left side.
Yeah.
And not to give too much credit to the Giants, but their biggest strength is actually their D-line.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually their biggest strength. And the O-line was solid the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like it really is amazing to see how the offense has grown from year one of McDaniel to year two. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very clear year one, like we couldn't run the ball, right?
Just think about how much it's grown from 3 years ago.
Well, right.
We were like a bottom 30 offense every year.
There were war crimes committed under the Flores. Flores era.
Bro, but even before Flores, like I just feel like our whole lifetime we have never seen an offense.
No, like we were 17-13 wins. Yeah. We were king of the 17-13 wins. The ugliest brand of football.
Yeah, it's like every time we touch the ball, I'm like, we're going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we're going to turn the ball over.
I mean, seems to be the narrative. Like, literally, like, it's like my lifetime has just been defined by now Mike McDaniel's offense and the Wildcat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I much the prefer Wildcat. The Mike McDaniel offense. The Wildcat was sick. It was a one-trick pony.
Shout out to Tony Sperano. RIP. Love the guy. But like we were getting Tony pumped Sperano. About field.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died. Yeah.
He did die. That's right. I just remembered that.
Sure.
Yeah.
When he said RIP, that was like RIP. No, but I was like, wait, Tony Sperano did die.
Yeah.
RIP.
Getting pumped about field goals with Tony. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was jacked up about field goals. Mm-hmm. Now we get really annoyed when we kick field goals. We got to leave Jason Sanders on his own island. Yeah. All respect, because we're gonna need him come playoff time.
We will. He's gonna do great.
We're not gonna need him come playoff time because we're gonna be beating teams by 20.
Yeah.
Come playoff time.
Well, he had a pretty good field goal against the
thing. Mike White's gonna be sick in the fourth quarter.
He's playing well.
Yeah. Mike White's gonna blow up in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, dude.
We're up 50.
Scared me. I was like,
what are you doing here?
I was like, dude, 2 and a half.
I went to the Dolphins versus the Patriots in Foxborough this year.
That's right.
And that was fantastic.
Nice.
If there's one thing not only that I love about this NFL season, which is the Dolphins' success, mm-hmm. it's the Patriots being an absolute dumpster fire. They're awful. And I love it.
Tito, my first take on this podcast. I said Mac Jones is the worst quarterback in the NFL. People dog me for it. He is the worst quarterback in the NFL. The worst. Zach Wilson jumped him 2 weeks ago. This guy is – Mac Jones is the worst.
I still think Zach Wilson's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Stop. The Pats stink.
He's the only quarterback to outplay Mahomes in a game, statistically.
Well, he hasn't played Tua yet this year.
He hasn't played Tua yet.
Come on. But, yeah, I love Boston Tears. Nothing brings more joy. Obviously, we spoke about knocking them out of the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs. Now we're just like, I mean, we own them. Like,
yeah, they've beaten us in the last 3 years.
Yeah, without Tua.
Tua's undefeated. Tua, yeah. Like, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Tua is Bill Belichick's father. So
pretty much.
Nah, man, it's like the Dolphins have been so fun this year, and I think like it's pretty interesting because like if we go 6-2 in the first 8 games.
I'm glad you're going there. That's right.
You know, give one potential loss.
Yeah, I think if you look at the next, like let's compartmentalize it with like the games of the next 4 games, right? We got Carolina this weekend,
which.
And I want to get in that game a little bit, like high level, nothing crazy, but. Carolina, then we play Saturday in
Eagles,
Philly
Eagles
on Sunday night.
Night.
Win, right? Then we play at home against New England, Patriots. And then we're on in Germany against Kansas City.
Yeah. Win.
Obviously, two of those should be wins by flying colors, right?
Right.
The other two games, if you split them, let's say, right? I prefer to win the Chiefs game just because of the whole AFC.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's say you split them, you're in a very good position at that point.
If you're 7-2 or... You know, 7-2 by some place you're 8-1, but 7-2.
Yeah,
you're lowering or decreasing your margin of error for the rest of the season.
100%.
Because now AFC, you know, number one AFC seed is in the picture.
Right.
Obviously, division's in the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
After that game, I feel like it's pretty.
You still got to play the Bills at home. Obviously,
that's our last game.
You still got the Cowboys who are kind of like.
You got the Cowboys,
now,
which you don't know what team is going to show up there. And then you got to play the Jets twice, which. Yeah. Look, I
don't
think we should
me.
Beat them both times, but. I don't know, dude.
Divisional games are weird.
I think I've always... Their defense is not bad.
Their defense is good.
And they held the Chiefs, which I know the Chiefs don't look as good as they did, but they made Mahomes look bad.
Yeah.
And I think it was just more Mahomes making bad decisions in that game.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, you got to give props to that defense, and you don't want to split that. I want to just flat out
win. If you handle business against... the Jets, right? Let's say, let's play that game, right? Exactly. You win both games against the Jets. Mm-hmm. You beat the Patriots in coming up here.
Exactly.
That's going to be four division wins, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That means that unless the Bills rattle off all their division wins the rest of the way,
which is very possible too.
It could be. I mean,
they're kind of banged up.
They're banged up. They just lost Milano and some Tre'Davious. Yep. Yeah. Tre'Davious White and the loss, I think, defensive tackle with Cornerback. Yeah. Peck.
And they had in the game against us, they lost their corner.
That's why. Yeah.
Tre'Davious White. Yeah. So I mean, it. Like I said, if the Dolphins handle business, they should, because they're a top four team
and get healthier.
Yeah, and
the last half of the year is a year. That's where I'm really excited about.
We're gonna get Needham back. Mm-hmm. I think
which
within
is
a month.
Been sneaky.
Big.
Miss.
That's gonna be big for our corners. You know, the latest thing that I read was that Jalen Ramsey is itching to be back on the field before December, which would be crazy.
He's already jogging.
I think, you know what we do, guys? We see how we're feeling. Yeah, we see how we're feeling. Hey, Jalen, take it easy, bro. Take your time.
No, like, get to a point where you're ready, and then get as strong and like in real time.
There shouldn't be a situation based on how good the Dolphins are.
After Chiefs, you have Raiders, Jets, Commanders, Titans.
We got Ravens in Baltimore. So it's always a tough one.
But then Raiders. I mean, it's still a lot of football left. They don't look good.
There's a ton of football.
They'll
get healthier too, but yes, I mean, the one of the best games I've ever seen was that Ravens game last year.
Oh yeah, man.
Fuck yeah. And we kind of 2-0 Lamar, so
I think the floor, based off where we're at right now, you know what's to come. Obviously, so much can happen, and I hate playing these hypotheticals. But 10 wins is like the minimum.
Agreed.
I think 12-13 is very realistic at this point.
I view it as there's no scenario where they shouldn't get to 11. Something has to go unbelievably wrong to get to below 11.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if we're, I mean, God, I.
10 would feel like
I don't think
like
I've ever seen a 13-win season for the Dolphins.
No, that's why. I'm like, dude, the fact that just thinking about 12, 13 wins would
insane.
Be so fucking
And what's
going to
be even crazier is when we win 16.
I know. Yeah, right. Exactly. Because we're going to win.
This next stretch of games, especially when we play the Eagles and the Chiefs, like, if we even come out with one win out of those, it's going to be like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You split up.
My record prediction, we're exactly where I thought we would be. I thought we'd lose to the Bills at home, and then we maybe, I said, like, these are like toss-ups, because especially after seeing what the Eagles have done so far, like, they haven't been like...
No, I think they looked their best this weekend, though.
Yeah.
Defensive-wise, at least.
Their defense just has so much depth.
They're like the opposite. Like, they, not the opposite of us, but they're like a matchup nightmare for us, kind of. Their D-line is insane. I know our O-line's been super improved, but like, their D-line is
What we can't let happen is A.J. Brown do what like Diggs did to us. Like, we got to be able to limit their big weapons.
Yeah.
That run game, man. So that's the guy. That's the stuff.
I don't know how the hell the NFL let them get Jalen Carter on top of
that. They've just been drafting straight Georgia guys. Last two, 3 years.
Georgia
Dolphins. They were like us. They had a bunch of draft picks.
They did.
They were loaded.
Yeah. Loaded with picks. I mean, look, two very good Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Leading
yeah.
this team. So
two.
I mean, one was the backup to the other one. You know, we don't have to get into specifics, but one was the backup.
One drove the other one out of town.
One helped Alabama win a national championship. The other almost lost it for them. Yeah. So just saying.
Actually, my brother's been like, it's going to be a crazy game.
Tua versus Earth Super Bowl?
Oof.
That'd be sick.
That'd be nuts.
Well, you'd have to get there first. And I'm talking about Hurts here.
I know. I would prefer that Super Bowl over that over 49ers.
The Niners, fuck.
You know, I don't really hate the Eagles, but I'm good on Eagles. I'm going to knock them down a peg. I'm kind of tired of their success.
I think it's Philly fans. They beat the Marlins.
Yeah,
they don't deserve Jalen Hurts, in my opinion.
Yeah. They should be the ones with Zach Wilson.
No one deserves happiness outside of my teams.
Yes. Exactly. So I'm 100% with that.
I like it. Well, we will see. We should put a... this is where I was going to go. What I want from this week is just a clean Tua game. No picks.
Yes.
Let this be like a game where you know you don't have to force those throws, because that's been bothering me a little bit. It's rubbing me the wrong way. It's like, Tua, come on. Like, we were talking about a little bit before the pod. everybody knows I fucking love the hell out of Tua. Yeah. And I'm going to defend that guy to his grave.
Agreed.
Because I've always been, everyone wanted Deshaun. Yeah. Everyone wanted this. Everyone wanted that.
Great.
I have the receipts and I send it to people all the time. I send it to them all the time. Bro, I never said it. I'm like, and I send it to them. But I just don't want him to be throwing those dumb passes because it will hurt us in big games. Will hurt us.
As long as we win, I'm good with it. He can throw 17 picks.
That's the growth.
If we win.
That's the growth.
I agree to it. Obviously, you want.
It is a testament to our offense that we can do what we're doing and still put up 31 points.
Some of his picks are like his picks sometimes seem worse than like other picks.
Yes, I agree. It looks so bad.
Like he's still playing at such an all-time level like right now. He's balling out.
He's on pace to break the passing yards.
Yeah, yeah. I hope he does.
So that'd be amazing.
That'd be sick. That'd be so sick.
Against the Giants,
it
was like an evil thing.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which I love him putting himself. But sometimes you just throw these into like tight.
Yeah. He did it against the Bills too.
Yeah.
And I think that was more of a pressure.
It looked like a pressure throw.
It was a pressure throw. They're down by 14. He wants to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that interception at that point. The Patriots one wasn't the best timing for it. It was like a 10-point game at that time.
Yeah.
He kind of chucked it. But if you look at that play again, pressure came in. He saw one-on-one with Tyreek.
And he gave him a chance.
Yeah. Not super mad about it. But again, like the timing of it could come back and haunt you in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue that I have with it. With some of it is like a little bit of the timing of the game. The Giants one was kind of the same thing.
Right.
You score there, it's a 21-point game. Yeah. They just returned it for a touchdown. It's a 14-point swing.
Yeah. Their first score and a first different touchdown.
Which is crazy. That was their only touchdown of the game. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the Dolphins' defense because I think they played lights out and it was the best the defensive line looked. And I know.
I was about to say.
That O-line is in shambles.
If they didn't get five sacks, like it was like an embarrassing.
They did what they were supposed to do. Yeah. I would have been worried if the opposite happened and we didn't do that.
I got to say, it felt nice to be on the right side of, hey, our offensive line isn't the worst one in this game.
Yeah.
Because my God.
Dude. And the worst part was, I think two of whoever, they were down to the third string center at that point in that game.
The Giants are screwed.
Yeah.
Your future is not looking good.
What do you do?
No, your future that you placed in Scottsdale.
Oh my God.
Wait, well, my bachelor party, you placed the ticket Giants versus Dolphins Super Bowl.
Exactly.
What was that?
Yeah, it was a little bit of
it's a fire.
You know, obviously the fans. I was going to show some love to the Giants. Like you're not going to tell me that there wasn't a little bit of hype around the Giants this year.
I mean, hype is relative again, but
I mean, they made it to the second round of the playoffs last year. I mean,
yeah,
they were a playoff team last year. They were supposed to be better.
I'm not going to judge you because I made worse bets in my life, so I get
it. And the KO was nice, you know. It was a little high risk
lottery ticket. It's a lottery ticket. Yeah.
You don't get to make those bets all the time. But yes, it's looking god awful right now.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they win out somehow.
Yeah.
Nah. It's Tyrod Taylor, man.
Stop.
I'm not gonna lie. I cannot be the only one after seeing Tyrod Taylor dice up Dolphin defenses for a while.
I know.
When he checked into that game, I was like, oh God. Praise God. But I was like, new Dolphins team.
Well, he's trying to cook the minus 11.
There was a point where Tyrod Taylor was hurt.
He looked like he got injured.
I was like, what are they gonna do?
Who are they gonna turn to? Mike Glennon. Yeah. Mike Glennon again.
Is he still there?
I don't know. I have no clue.
He's always there.
That guy's still in the league somehow. That guy's still in the league somehow.
But yeah, once again, the defense is what needs to get the healthiest. I'm still, and I think Fangio's still getting comfortable with these players and like dialing up the pressure. Van Ginkel has been amazing. Like
he really has.
Like he's like, and Phillips, when we get Phillips back, it's gonna be game changer.
So what happens when Phillips come back? What's going to happen with AVG?
He'll
find ways. I think
they have to.
He's been too good. I know,
but that's his.
They're going to start putting Phillips at the three tech. They're going to start pushing him inside, which they did a lot.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like you got to keep AVG on the outside because dude, he's balling out there.
Yeah, he's a true edge. Like he's a true like right end, whereas AVG.
I know Phillips is a beast too, but
yeah.
I wonder if they would value Van Ginkel over Ogba, because Like, Ogba, from a technique standpoint, is really sound, and he's good in run defense.
Yeah.
He hasn't been bad either this
year. Not at all. No, not at all. Look, that's a luxury to have as a Dolphins fan.
We're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, but he's... When you want pass rushers, right? We were just talking about the Eagles. Yeah. They have so many pass rushers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, the Dolphins have the players, and like you're mentioning with reinforcements, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to get Ramsey back before the end of November. Nick Needham's going to come back at some point.
Huge.
Sneaky one, Keon Crossen. That's good corner, you know? Oh, they put him on IR.
Yeah.
I think hopefully he might be a welcome addition.
I forgot about Crossen, too.
There really shouldn't be a reason that...
No, we got plenty of depth at that point.
Yeah, when we're in December.
And we haven't even seen the rookie Cam Smith yet.
Yeah, right. That's what I was about to say. I was like,
they're getting better. I think, to you guys' point, it's been an adjustment. Like, there was kind of some differing answers. I think, you know, Fangio is a hard-nosed coach, so he kind of expects his guys to know the defense already. Right. Whereas I think Jalen Phillips kind of said something along the lines of, like, we're still acclimating to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, the hope is that... Come December, this defense is playing its best way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once we enter the playoffs,
that's what you
we
need.
Want to be clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, that's what you need.
I'm already so pumped for the playoffs. I'm already looking so far ahead. Like, you don't understand. Like, you don't understand.
I want to host a playoff game. That's what I
want. I
want
to win one.
And win one.
I want to win a playoff
hosting
game.
Hosting is with the assumption comes in that we also win it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be hosting in the second round because week one.
Well, we got the bye. That's right. Yeah, I forgot. We got the bye.
So we got to wait a week.
We got the bye. That would be nuts. That would be crazy.
When is the last time that happened? Because God knows we haven't won a playoff game. Early Marino days, probably, right?
It's got to be in the early 2000s. No, literally 2000, 2001.
I'll tell you, we hosted, not the one seed, but we hosted the Ravens in 2009.
Yeah, that was the wild card year we hosted them.
I think that was a home game here.
2009.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wild card year.
We lost that game, though.
We did. We lost that game.
The last playoff game we won against the Colts. That was a Peyton Manning game.
Yeah.
Or, correction, the Lamar Smith game, where he scored 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So
it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
What I don't want to happen is the Lions getting a playoff win before us.
That would be embarrassing.
I love the Dan the Man camp.
No. Listen, I love we can Dan both win together.
I want to meet them in the Super Bowl. That'd be my dream match.
That would be
pretty interesting fan bases meeting in the Super Bowl. Whoever wins, we both win.
We already won.
Exactly. Two scoring fan bases. Exactly.
I'm actually rooting for that. That should be my fucking lock.
Yeah, that should be your pick.
All right. Yeah. Well, you want to do locks?
Oh, yeah, I want
to
do locks.
Before you go to the NFL, I think it needs to be talked about. So I haven't had a chance to talk about it. I want you guys to talk about it. Are the officials helping the Chiefs get wins?
I heard about this.
Taylor Swift is buying Travis Kelce wins.
Took off his helmet and
they've been bailed out twice.
I thought I saw a flag get thrown on that play.
They picked it up because they said it was uncatchable.
It was ridiculous.
It kind of was uncatchable though.
Yeah. So I don't have as much issue with the pass interference.
It was more the helmet thing.
The helmet thing is crazy.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Like, the helmet thing is crazy. He's warning to him, put your helmet on. I have to throw a flag on you. Like, that's not how that works.
That's not how that works. It's like, hey, you did a PI, but I'm going to call it. So
Every time
in the NFL, it's never not done when a helmet comes off.
Yeah, man. No, that was suspect. I mean, it's crazy to me too, because it's like I know as a Dolphins fan, I'm not one to talk, but the Chiefs do look vulnerable this year.
Yeah, they do.
I just won't say it. I said that last year, and they never won this damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. come January,
Mahomes turns into a god.
It's Mahomes Reed.
Yeah.
I fully agree with you, by the way. It's just like, I said that all last year, like, guys are vulnerable.
But
like,
Mahomes can do everything still, but the people around him, which happened in the first week of the season, where Tony literally had a million drops, and that ended up actually costing him.
Yeah, the receivers are still terrible, but it's just like, it's still always
going to be.
Their defense is really good.
Crazy
Mahomes
things.
And Reed are still dynamic. Obviously, Kelce too.
I have a take for you here. Ready?
Oh, I love it.
If the Broncos continue to suck, and the Chiefs are looking for offensive weapons, Chiefs are going to trade for Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, I can see that.
And they're going to pay a price for it, because they're going to give him the contract he probably wants after with that too. But I am very...
Well, the Broncos said they're willing to trade.
If the season keeps going,
they're
going awry.
They're going to keep shopping to people.
But and if you think about it, look, They've got Cortland Sutton. They've got other receivers there. Judy's been on and off the injury report.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has
like, he is the perfect, like, Andy Reid reclamation project, right? Yeah. They did it with Kadarius Toney, and obviously that hasn't worked out. Jerry Jeudy, though, like, in the Andy Reid system.
Yeah. No, it would be something.
Yeah, let's not speak that one into let's
why would pause you on that worried? Take. You got X and Ramsey.
I mean, yeah, we got
to turn this off. X and Ramsey on both sides of the road.
Yeah. True.
So, let him go. You want to do Locks of the Week?
Let me get.
All right. Lock of the week is FIU minus one. I mean, it's an absolute joke that Vegas keeps giving me lines like this. I mean, I know we're 3-3 against the spread. I don't care. I've never seen a game that I've been more confident in than FIU Vice Night Wednesday night against UTEP. UTEP were minus one. Keon Jenkins is playing minus one. It's a joke. It's going to be routing at the cage. The cage going to be popping. Like I said, biggest stadium in college football when it comes to, you know, sound and atmosphere. and, you know, unlike Lil Bro here, we're actually going to dominate on our Vice night. And I mean, sickest jersey in the game. Number one voted jersey by Sports Illustrated. What can I say? I didn't make those rankings. They did. I truly have never seen a line that I've liked more than FIU minus one. And we are going to probably win by 40 this week. And so that's on ESPN2. Wow. Everyone tune in. You'll find me there, obviously, rattling the cage. But it is absolutely my lock of the week, FIU minus one. Thank you. Pause up.
Oh, now let me take this off before I get a migraine.
Honestly, after that, you should line up.
I'm very biased. Obviously, everyone knows this. I'm, you know, shocker. It's part of my character traits. I kid you not, like, tomorrow, I've never liked FIU more.
Are we thinking about taking outlines, maybe? Like, be like, just take it FIU minus 10?
Tito. Now you have me at minus 20 right now. All right, now I if there's an outline, I will slam it. Okay. I will take this. I truly think that, like, because FIU, first off, they embarrassed us last year. They actually crushed us last year. We're a way better team now. We've got Keon Jenkins. He's playing. It was a bit of a concussion scare last week. My last play, he was going for a slide, late hit, ridiculous call, ridiculous play. But he's healthy. We've got the weapons. The line's improved. The defense is improved. UTEP,
for the most part,
UTEP's been way worse. Yeah, UTEP is way worse. Worse in the conference. I genuinely think this is the game. First off, if we want to go bowling, you have to win this game.
Yeah.
So we just need three. Vegas had us at three wins. We're already at three wins. We just need one more win to hit that. This is the game we do it. So that is my lock of the week.
I like it.
Lock of the week.
I mean, FIU, I feel like has to win now.
The thing is, if you look at the schedule, it's you got to beat UTEP, and then you got to beat Sam Houston State.
Down the line, what are their other games
I think we have three games left.
Including UTEP
that are must wins. It's UTEP, Sam Houston, and Middle Tennessee. Although Middle Tennessee's kind of had a resurgence, and it's in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, trust me, I know.
At Middle Tennessee State. But those are the three you got to win. You're not beating... Well,
hey,
I was going to say not beating Arkansas, but you know what? I'm back. We are beating Arkansas. We got Arkansas and Western Kentucky, who are two toughest by far. It's in Arkansas, and I believe the Western game is also in Western Kentucky, or that one might be home. I don't know yet. But and the other game is kind of a toss-up. It's Jacksonville State, who's actually like really not that bad, and they're kind of giving Liberty a game right now. But I think we have the path to a bowl game is there, and it starts tomorrow. So
there we go.
Yeah. Lock of the week.
I've got an NFL game. I'm gonna go with the London game. London, right? We're still in London, not in Germany yet.
I believe so. Yeah.
It's the last London game. Yes. Ravens Titans. I'm gonna take the Titans as the dog. Give me the points. Mike Vrabel winning record as an underdog.
He's also great against the spread and all bets.
The Titans Ravens is kind of like one of those like fake rivalries in the NFL. Like these teams don't like each other for whatever reason. From I guess playoff matchups. And Ravens still kind of banged up. Titans not as bad as I anticipated this year. I kind of thought they might have been a sneaky tank team. Obviously, former Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill kind of hanging in there. And they're coming off of a tough loss to the Colts, a game that they probably should have won. So I'm going to take the Titans and the points. And I would say if you want to sprinkle money line action on the Titans, go for it. But give me the 3.5, give me the 4 against the Ravens.
Love it.
I like that.
I'm going – got to go with the home team. Going fits. They're covering the 13.5.
Let's go.
I don't even know what the over is, but take the over on that too.
It's 48.5.
I think we're going to win like – I think, like we were saying, we're going to have that clean game,
yes.
Which is like, if we would have had the clean game, we would have put up 60 again last week. I think we're going to have that clean game. Defense is going to show out again because they got shit to prove. Everyone's talking about the offense. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we're here too. We exist. We're going to ball out. Sorry, Bryce Young, but it's not going to be pretty for you.
Yeah, it also helps they stink.
Yeah. And I just, I think when it rains, it pours for them. And it might actually rain this weekend. Let me check the weather real quick. Because that would make things a little dicey. 3%, I think we'll be good.
Yeah.
Plus, go Miami stuff.
Yeah. Running teams like us, obviously, yeah. You know, best running.
Well, running football. And I think the Panthers in the last two games are like giving up like 5 yards a carry. So.
Yeah.
And then I have another one.
I've got 5 more plays. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
All right.
That was just my lock of the week.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I've got one specifically for Tito, so don't worry about that.
And I got one for Polo because.
Oh, okay. I like it.
This, our boy, do you know George Polo?
Maybe. I don't know.
He's a big Bengals fan.
He's whacker. You don't want to know that guy.
He was going on a tangent. So you know what? Going Seahawks.
Love that.
Seahawks. Nice.
I love that. So my 2 NFL plays, and I have them written down here, Titans +4. And Seahawks +3.
Hey,
so
there we go.
I love that our minds are already synced.
Yeah.
So my 3, I have 3 college football plays. I've got UCLA, Oregon State over 54.5. Oregon State actually really does have good defense, but UCLA, good offense, two good offenses. I would take that low number. Texas Tech -1 against Kansas State. I think Kansas State's kind of in like a little bit of a free fall. And I think Texas Tech is really good. And then my 2nd favorite play of the weekend, USF -2.5 over.
Let's go, baby. The Bulls.
Come on.
Let's go.
I'm rocking with the Bulls over the Owls.
There we go.
So, yeah, those are all my plays this weekend. I like that. I'm looking at college games right now.
They're actually like, – there's a lot of –
I usually one that's, always – Yes. Take Miami against the spread. I'm actually not going to do that this week. Just a little bit out of like little friendliness. You know, you guys went through it a little bit. But I also do think like you actually guys can pull it off this week. I'm not going to lie.
I think there's just so much
like negative out there about the Canes right now in like a weirdly different way than it usually is. That they're going to – and UNC knows what's coming too. Right. Like they know they have to bounce back.
Yeah.
So they're going to get the best – hypothetical UM team that they've probably gotten over the last 4 years. So I do think UM can pull it off.
I hope so.
I think they can.
I hope so. I really hope so.
But yeah, that's it. I'm good.
All right. Good on mind.
You want any?
Man. I think this is good. This is a lot of fun, man. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining us.
Let me see what questions came in for you.
Might not be me.
You know, I don't even know if I want to do this. You ready? If anyone says anything but Neo block them, that was one.
Okay.
The other one, why does UM consistently suck ass and never won an ACC championship?
I've asked the same question before. Checks out. Yeah.
The other one is, why does UM continue being FSU's little brother?
Okay, all right.
And their FIU's.
Forgot about the University of Miami.
And then the last one is, can Cristobal count? Which we went over that already.
Yeah. Evidently, no. So far.
Those Columbus guys, man.
Yeah, man.
That Columbus blind connection.
Columbus, baby. True to nature. All right. Well, before we end, I did say I was going to do this. As you guys maybe know or don't know, we're here at Pinecrest Performance. It is here local in Miami, Florida. It is a sports performance gym, and they've kind of expanded into the golf space. They're going to be hosting a golf league in the simulator.
Nice.
So I think it's 9 holes. You pay a buy-in to get in. You come in, they get your handicap. So, you know, it kind of skewed based off of how you swing. And it's a cash money prize based off of how many people sign up. So it's $150. Nice. If, you know, 10 people sign up, $1,500, you can hypothetically win. Yeah, yeah, it's we'll handicapped, so you can go there and stink. If you got a 30 handicap, you can go up there and still win $1,500.
Austin's gonna pull up and win that thing.
So anything could happen. So if you're interested to sign up, you can let me know. You can hit them up at Pinecrest Performance. Could be some cash, you know, that you could win. You never know, man.
Love it.
Probably higher odds than winning the lotto or a scratch off ticket. So, or come. No, I'm not gonna even say it. But just come in, try it out, and if you have any questions, let us know. I think it's a good opportunity to win some cash. You know, never know what happens.
Sweet.
All right. Well, that's it on my end, guys. Thanks, Tito, for coming on. And
appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Make sure to tune into the next episode, guys. Cheers.
Later.